I like this book a lot. Second Timothy 3, verse number 16, very familiar. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the inspiration and the keeping of it and the opening our minds and our hearts to it. Anoint it now and bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. There is very little that I'm afraid of, scared of, except three little words. Could you keep the screen down? I'm sorry. Three little words, and they are some assembly required. When I bring a box home and they have those words on the box, my family runs into other rooms or even out of the house because they know how I respond to some assembly required. I just have to admit it. I'm not good with assembling things, especially those with instructions. Just follow the simple instructions, so simple that a child could do it. Where do you find a child at the last minute in order to assemble something for you? Because obviously adults can't do it. You open the box and there is either a simple sheet of step-by-step illustrations, which I'm sure some child drew up, or a complete 50-page manual written in five different languages on how to put this thing together. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I really don't pay a whole lot of attention to the instructions. And there are all of these pieces in neatly packaged plastic bags. And you know they got to go someplace. Even some generic tools that you have no idea what they're for. And because I am so brilliant and a man, I don't find it necessary to follow any of those goofy instructions at all. I use my mechanical insight to figure it out, and from time to time I glance at the box to look at the picture to see, is it starting to look like it's supposed to? I'm always amazed that there are parts left over, you know? Someone once said, not an expert, just a common person like you and I, they said, having pieces left over is a sure sign that I didn't do it according to the instructions. I need to rent a six-year-old whenever I buy something and bring it home. I would rather live with an incorrect assembly than to admit that I didn't follow the instructions. Even if I have to tear it apart and do it over and over again, I'm still not going to look at the instructions. There could even be some danger in some things if you didn't put them together, you know, put together a chair that doesn't fit and it collapses, or some kind of appliance or motorized project. I said to my wife yesterday, how can I get so frustrated with little projects to assemble when I will spend hours, even days, following God's instruction on how to build a life and how to build a church? The consequences of not following his instructions are paramount. It's not, well, an option. To violate or ignore his instructions is to put in peril our eternal destiny. The serpent came to Eve and said in Genesis 3 and 1, yea, did God say, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? In other words, did you get the instructions right? Did you hear it right? Or can you just kind of improvise and do it like you feel this is what God would have you to do? Just simple instructions that weren't followed, and the result was sin, and the result was death because you didn't follow simple instructions. This world has watered down and complicated and torn up the instructions to eternal life over and over again. You see, the building of God's people in God's church is the highest priority for God. And he would not leave anything out of the instructions. In order to be the complete person that God wants us to be, God gave us all the same set of instructions. It's called the Bible. It's the manual of life, if you will. And in every area of life, great or small, all require our willingness to follow and obey the instructions of God. What scares me today is there are churches that glance at the book and then try to assemble a church that God wants assembled following their detailed instructions instead of God's detailed instructions. Oh, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter how you dress. It doesn't matter where you go. Just hold the instructions. Just hold the instructions. You don't necessarily have to read them, but keep them close. Most Christian churches believe that baptism is an outward evidence of an inner work. I can never understand completely what that meant, but it sounds good. Outward evidence of an inner work. In other words, it's just identifying with a Christian community. It really doesn't have any real significance to it, but let's take a look at what the instruction book says. Would you turn to Acts, the 19th chapter? Acts chapter 19, starting in verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. So disciples, people who were learning about God, who believed in God, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" This is one of the most profound questions in the entire Bible, because most people believe that you get the Holy Ghost simply because you do believe. And it's saying here, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So there's a question here. Have you been following the instructions? And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Well, what was that all about? Then said Paul, "John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him," that is, on Jesus Christ. Well, 90% of Christian belief today is simply just believe on him, and that's all you need. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So we find that there's some correction to the instructions here in the 19th chapter. He could have simply said, "Okay, well, you know what? You already been baptized. It's an outward evidence of an inner work. It's really not that important." But he said, "No, you need to be rebaptized," as probably everyone that's sitting in here tonight was rebaptized. I've been baptized twice, once as a baby. I didn't remember it. But again, it was just protocol, but not important. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse 20. There are a lot of people who would like to remove these scriptures from the Bible. which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved, how? By water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not of the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So again, we have specific instructions and God saying, this is what you need in order. Baptism will save you if you follow the instructions properly. Amen. Then Acts 22. I know most of you can quote these scriptures, but you know what? This preaching goes beyond this church, folks. Amen. And it's good every once in a while to review the instructions one more time to see if we're doing everything right. Amen. To reconfirm, yep, that's what it says. Amen. So Acts 22 and verse 16, it says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, or in other words, having the name of the Lord called over you. So baptism is for the washing away of sins. Following instructions will save you. It's not just, well, God knows my heart. It's not just, well, you know, I think I'm better than most people. No, you still have to follow the instructions. God has given us a picture of our spiritual assembly, frame by frame, from the Old Testament prophets to the apostles, but it's through following the detailed word of God that brings a completion to the project or the assembling of a church. Today, people are looking for a shortcut. Just shake the hand of the preacher, show up occasionally to church. You're fine, I'm fine, we're all fine, and there's no assembly required. No. Assemble yourselves all the more as you see the day approaching. There's no shortcut to get to heaven. It isn't one way for some people and another way for other people. God knows the heart. God sees your intent and purpose. No, God sees you following the specific instructions. You see, Exodus, the 12th chapter, which saved Israel from the angel of death, had specific instructions. God was so specific on when they would take the lamb and when it would be killed and how the blood was to apply to their house. And had they not followed the instructions specifically, the angel of death would not have passed over. And today, nothing specific anymore. Just, you know, God loves you just the way you are. You're okay. Turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus saying, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what? Doeth the will. It sounds like instructions. Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We're talking about people who were going to church, people who believed. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. What a horrible conclusion to a life of thinking I am all right, yet I haven't followed the instructions that God has given me. And then the conclusion, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Well, how do you hear them? Hear them through the preaching. Hear the word of God being preached. And doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that builds his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. People hear the word, they hear the instructions all of the time. Every time you come to church, I'm reading from the instruction manual. This is what we need to do in order to complete the project that God has, and we all need to be completed. He is able to complete that which he has started. But when you hear it, you have to do something with it. If you hear the word preached from this pulpit and yet not follow the instructions, and it's so easy to think, well, that is for that person or that person. It's not really affecting me in any way. Because you know how to get saved and stay saved without following God's instructions? The flood will one day come and the house will fall. Amen. I mean, folks, I am so intent on making sure I'm following the instructions. Because if you miss it, you've missed it for eternity. Some may think that all the little details really don't matter. But then why would God put all of those little details in the manual in the first place? We got to fill up this book? No. I believe that everything in the Word of God has some bearing on each and every one of our lives. Turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. I'm not preaching long tonight. I have this thought. Matthew, the 5th chapter. And verse number 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. One word, one jot. That word jot means iota. Ever hear that? I don't care one iota. Well, that's really, it is a Greek word, which means a very small part of something. The word tittle means a comma or the least of the participles. I've heard people say in their defense of not following the word of God, oh, that is no longer necessary. That is no longer important anymore. It was for a different generation. Well, who gave you the authority to change what God had wrote down into the instructions? You know, we buy something, we grab the instructions, and we say, well, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be put together. Well, who has the right to write the instructions except the manufacturer of the thing that's supposed to be put together, you see? Amen. Turn to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. If people would spend more time proofing the Word of God instead of proving that it isn't important anymore. Amen. Revelation 22 and verse number 19. Start in verse 18. For I testify, this is the very end of the book. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So God is very specific about you can't add anything and you can't take anything away from the word of God. Because you're not going to have a complete project. You're going to have parts left over. You're going to have some voids in how to put this whole thing together. And then Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. I'm glad God hasn't changed his mind about his instructions. Now, we're doing it different from what we did 10 years ago, 12 years ago. That some things just aren't important any longer. I'm so glad that he didn't give us a choice to pick and choose which of his instructions we should believe. Is this important now or is it not important now? All right. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Wherefore, I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. God is looking to see, are we obedient in all areas of the Word of God? If you love him, you'll follow his instructions, and it's not grievous to you. Why do I have to do that? Well, you know what? If I love him the way I'm supposed to love him, God, just tell me, what do you want me to do? I'll be happy to do that. And then let's go back to 2 Timothy, the third chapter again. Second Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is for instruction in righteousness. See, the completeness or the final steps is for us to be righteous so we can go to a righteous place with a righteous God, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished, or the furnishings were put together according to the instructions of the righteousness, you see. We're put together, or we are complete, only by looking at the instructions of God. When some man says, that's good enough, does it compare to what the instructions say is good enough? That the man of God may be perfect. Who says you're perfect? The only one that can tell you is the one who is perfect, who wrote the instructions on how to be perfect. Amen. And then our last scripture, I think, glory to God, almost. Proverbs, the first chapter. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse number 1. Solomon, the wisest man, God gave him more wisdom than anybody else. Verse number 1 of Proverbs is the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instructions, to receive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, I really feel that we have instructions from the father, but we also have instructions from the mother, or the church of the living God. There are areas that we need to take instructions. If I come into a body of believers and then I decide what I'm going to respond to or what I'm not going to respond to, it's not going to end up well for me. Church, simply hearing or reading the instructions and following them will always produce the result that God intended for our lives. Every time we respond to what the instructions say or what wisdom gives us and in obedience, what happens is there's a reward. There's a completion, if you will. I've learned a long time ago, living for God is so easy when you do it God's way. Amen. You know? But when you're kicking and screaming, I don't know if that's really necessary. You know, we're miserable campers because God's saying, hey, you know what? You're just not enjoying the relationship that my instruction gives you. No shortcuts will do. It's all laid out in the instructions. And when we have done our life according to his word, there won't be any pieces left over. No spare parts, because it will require everything within the book in order to make us perfect. Instruction into righteousness. Here's what I do. I go back and read the instructions over and over again, just to be sure I have not missed anything in the process of becoming that completed vessel for God. Just two more scriptures. John, the 12th chapter. John 12 and verse number 48. Jesus says this. You really need to mark this in your Bible. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So you're not going to be judged by what I say. You're not going to be judged by what the United Pentecostal Church says. You're not going to be judged by your neighbor or a church down the road. You're going to be judged based on what the Word of God says. Whether you know what the Word of God says or you don't know what the Word of God says, we'll still all be judged by the instructions that he gave to us in order to be the perfect man or woman. And then Ecclesiastes, back to Solomon again. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Now, Solomon, he had the brains, he had the bucks, he did everything and anything he wanted in order to fulfill his life and his pleasures And he built beautiful gardens and edifices and everything he could imagine in order to delight in his life. It's like somebody who won every lottery there was and then could do whatever they wanted. Well, God was just going to say, hey, Solomon, do whatever. And then we get to the 12th chapter and verse number 13. And here's what he says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The conclusion, fear God and keep his commandments, because it really is the whole duty of man. It's the whole duty of man. The benefits, out of this world, but not only out of this world, the benefits here. Knowing, you know, I pored over the instructions. At first, I didn't understand them, but I read it over again, and then I had somebody explain the instructions to me, and now I understand. And then there's this light from heaven called the Holy Ghost that shines upon it and gives us a better insight to it. And then God starts to work from the inside and says, here, I'm going to give you the desire to perform what instructions I've given you. And here we are. But we got to keep reading the instructions. Make sure we're lining up with the instructions. I've said this before, but in Washington, D.C., they have a building that is called the Bureau of Standards. And the reason they created the Bureau of Standards is if there was ever a doubt in anybody's mind about how much an ounce really is, they have a measure for an ounce. They have a measure for an inch and a yard and a pound and a meter. And all of those things, it's called the Bureau of Standards because our human nature will stretch something or shortchange something, but there's a place that if you really want to know what the measure really is, there's a place that will confirm it. If you really want to know what the measure of something is, there's a Bureau of Standards. There's a book here that'll tell you exactly why we're baptized in Jesus' name, why we speak in other tongues when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, why we dress the way we do, why we act the way we do, why we don't go to certain places, why we wear our hair the way we do. It's right here. And God hasn't changed his mind because he has a Bureau of Standards for each and every one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Some assembly required. Don't run from it. Just get the instructions out. Generally, here's what I do. I pull out this thing and I say, honey, can you help me with this? Well, you can read, yeah, but see, I can't read at the same time and I'm putting things together. And that's what preaching's about. Could you help me with this? Could you give me a better understanding of what we're supposed to do here? See, preaching is important. It really is. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you for coming out in this nasty night. Amen. Sure is pretty, though. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?